Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Faith Community Methodist Church on this third Sunday of Lent. We're about halfway through before we get to the Easter celebration, so don't waste this time that we have within the Lenten season to be present with God and allow God to be working in our lives each and every day in this season. It is a season of reflection and preparation for that celebration so that we come and the joy of the Lord in that day. So I encourage you to keep working through this time to the advantage that you get every day that you get to walk with Jesus. Turn to your announcements. They're just a reminder, we have Coin Sunday today for mission, so have your coins ready. Be prepared for that. The Mary and Martha group is going to be meeting tomorrow at 6 o'clock, so all ladies, come on out to the community center and have a wonderful time. Next Sunday, we'll be having fun at Faith, so everyone's invited. We're going to have a time together. If you bring a side dish, we're going to have time together to eat and fellowship and have some fun. So hopefully as many of you can make it, we would love to have you. Also next Sunday is Umpqua Sunday. We all know Umpqua is the part of the United Methodist Church that goes out, and it's the Committee on Relief. So there are disasters all across the globe. Well, next Sunday, they take an offering from all across the globe, and that money that they get that day assures that everything that comes in for disasters goes to the disasters. So we're like putting that funding out front for all the logistics to go to make all those things happen, so the United Methodist Church can be in all those places. So I encourage you to bring an offering for that next Sunday. While we're talking about that offering, the special offering for Lenten season is for our Mongolian Mission Initiative. So if you want to put that in that offering or write on the check that that's what it's for, we'll get it to the right place. And our Jackson Area Ministry seeds are coming in. It's filling up. But keep them coming. We have a couple more weeks. Continue to do that. So let's prepare ourselves as all these things are going on. But let's just rest in this time of worship before our Lord and Savior. We'll take the prayer in this time.
Thank you. beautiful. What a great way to start our morning. Would you please rise with me if you are able, and let us join together in the call to worship. Worship God with joy and thanksgiving.
May the joy of the Lord is the rock of our salvation.
We are the sheep of God's pasture.
We are the lambs of God's flock.
Come, let us worship the Lord.
Just a brief word to say thank you to you all. My surgery in my eyes have become very good. He's going to release me next week, so thank you for all your prayers and for your friendship. God bless you all. Now we're going to sing. Hymn number 277. And you're going to do verses, all of them. All verses. Tell me the stories of Jesus.
Please join me in this opening prayer. Living water, flow through our hearts today. Quench our thirst in our desert wanderings, and strengthen us for the road ahead. Bathe us in your fountain of eternal life, that our spirits may flow with faith and love, through the power of your eternal spirit. Amen. And now I invite the children to come and join me. Today, good morning, I'm going to teach you something to help you as you pray, and something to help you remember that God loves us all, okay? So there is scripture that tells us to love God, love others, as we love ourselves. So we have to remember to love ourselves in that too. So here's, Jeff, you're going to have to hold this microphone for me so I can do the movements. This is what you're going to do. You're going to raise your hands up high. Raise your hands up to the sky. All right? And when you raise your hands up high to the sky, I want you to remember and pray, love God. Can you remember that? Love God. Okay, then you're going to put your arms out wide, really wide, as far as you can stretch them. And you're going to remember to love others. So love God. Love others. And now I want you to give yourself a hug. Can you give yourself a hug? And as you hug yourself, I want you to remember to love yourself. And then I want you to put your hands, like prayer hands, right to your chest. And sit. Take a big, deep breath in. And out. Amen. So let's do that again. Love God. Love others. Love yourself. Amen. Can you remember that? All right, great. Okay, and now I'm going to ask you to get the blue buckets. And it is our mission Sunday. You get to go collect the change and then come back for a prayer.
You may remain seated as we sing Precious Name. It's hymn number 536, verses 3 and 4.
Thank you.
go into this time of prayer this morning with recognizing truly how precious Jesus is in our lives. Let's go before our Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we come to your feet. Lord, we know we need to come to you in this way to humble ourselves. So often we run about our days and we're the only things we think about. Ourselves. Not you. So God, we just ask that in this time that we have together this morning that we would be reminded that you go everywhere with us. That you are there as our encourager, but also as our guide. Lord, help us to humble ourselves before you, seeking your guidance in everything. Not just when we come together here in the sanctuary or in a small gathering with others who call ourselves Christians. Lord, let us go everywhere to be encouraged by you. Lord, we just ask that you would open ourselves to how you see things. To see the world in a way that brings joy rather than discern discomfort. Lord, we look to be a part of your mission. The Lord, it begins with coming to you, putting our whole selves before you, and giving ourselves over to you, and truly calling ourselves your servant. Lent gives us a time to really renew that idea and spirit in our lives, O God, that we are humble before you, that you are our master, that you are one who loves us so much, that you give us grace. May we receive that grace and be drawn to you in a way that really pushes us forward into the new life that you have promised us. So Lord, we thank you for who you are and how you are patient with us. How you nurture us and you invite us. You don't force anything, Lord. So allow us to be strengthened through our humility, to be able to stand with you in all things that you call us to. Again, we are grateful for the way that you work in us and through us. So let us share now with confidence, with one voice, the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we come to our time of receiving our offering. Just a reminder of our special offering for Mongolia. And just to understand how we are in partnership. But also, as we receive every week, we are receiving a part that we've already been given to give back in order to glorify God and how God would want to use it. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? please join together in the prayer of dedication. Eternal Spirit, source of healing and wholeness, receive our grateful hearts for your many blessings. Transform the gifts we bring this day into Christ's promise of living water for the world. Bathe those who are touched by today's offering in your goodness and grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please remain standing for the gospel reading.
Our gospel reading for this morning is from John 4, 4 through 15. Jesus had to go through Samaria. He came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, which was near the land Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus was tired from his journey, so he sat down at the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me some water to drink." His disciples had gone into the city to buy some food. The Samaritan woman asked, "Why do you, a Jewish man, ask for something to drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" Jews and Samaritans didn't associate with each other. Jesus responded, "If you recognized God's gift and who is saying to you, 'Give me some water to drink,' you would be asking him, and he would give you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you don't have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where would you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father, Jacob, are you? He gave the well to us, and he drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I give will never be thirsty again. The water that I give will become in those who drink it a spring of water that bubbles up into eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will never be thirsty and will never need to come here to draw water." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Thank you. house. Something peaceful about that. Well, I hope you've been able to reflect on the first couple of weeks of this Lenten series, Removing Barriers to Engagement. And if we haven't already, consider moving from reflection to repentance. When something strikes us as being a potential barrier to engaging with God or our community. This is our third week. So if you haven't been following from the beginning, let me just briefly share where we've been. We first joined Jesus teaching the crowds on the side of a mountain in Galilee, where we entered into the middle of his Sermon on the Mount, addressing the hypocrisy of faith practices. And Jesus encouraged authenticity before God and one another.
In other words, removing the barrier of hypocrisy, because authenticity matters in a transformative life of discipleship into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Friends, we are Christ's representatives wherever we are, and we represent faith community, where our vision is to be a safe space for exploring faith and building community. You see, it takes authenticity to fulfill such a vision for people to feel welcome, seen, heard, and accepted in any space we offer, whether it's inside or outside of these walls. Second, we joined Jesus and his disciples walking just along the road in or around Jerusalem, where Jesus saw a man born blind. Many knew about this man, but no one really knew him for the fear of the unknown of what sin his or his parents caused him to be born blind. Their fear, based on a scripture interpretation and centuries of cultural tradition regarding blindness and other ailments being punishment by God for sin, kept the community from engaging with the man born blind. Jesus, seeing the man, healed him, stating that neither he nor his parents' sin caused the man's blindness. Rather, his blindness would be a witness to the work of God. Jesus encourages us to address our fear of the unknown, to see God and see people in our community with a curiosity and an openness to a different perspective, all the while exploring how Jesus is at work in the unknown, with a willingness to accept people as they are. That's where we've been the past couple of weeks. So now that we're caught up, let's continue our Lenten journey through the Fear Plus Less Dialogues Initiative's five core fears that act as barriers to our relationships. The desire, again, is not to remove these fears from our lives, but to remove them as being barriers to engagement. Today, we join Jesus and his disciples on their way to Galilee, that's in the northern part of Israel, from the southern region of Judea near Jerusalem, to explore how do we address our fear of strangers. Now, if you think about it, we instill this fear into our lives as a means to protect our children. We teach stranger danger. Again, fears are not bad unless we ignore them or become overwhelmed by them. So it is good to encourage our children to be cautious around strangers. And really, it is good for all of us to be mindful of strangers and the context that surrounds us. However, just because someone is a stranger doesn't mean there is danger. There are so many influences in our lives that generate our fear of strangers that are triggered by how someone looks,
or acts, where someone is from or presumed from, what situation we're in at the moment, and many other things. The reality is we are all strangers until we are not. You could even say there is a range of strangers that spans from the danger stranger all the way to the familiar stranger. A familiar stranger is anyone you know about or of, like the man born blind in last week's scripture, but don't really know. Many of us sitting in this sanctuary are familiar strangers to one another, right? Why is that? We may not want to think it is the fear of strangers that is underneath this truth, but it is there. Sure, it is a low-level fear, which is more of an uncomfortable feeling that keeps us as familiar strangers. Other strangers we encounter, well, they spur on a stronger sense of fear. But that fear doesn't always mean we should steer clear. The vast majority of strangers we encounter are not dangerous. And like all of us, they want to be known. We can remove this barrier of engagement. And to encourage us to just fear a little less, I want to note a few things I see in Jesus' interaction with the Samaritan woman at this well. Keep in mind, Jesus is a stranger to the woman. Even if Jesus knows her, just as he knows everyone, including us, Jesus is a stranger until he is not. So as I mentioned, Jesus and his disciples were headed to Galilee in the northern part from the south. There were a couple of routes that they could choose from. One, going east to the Jordan River area and follow the road north through the Jordan Valley before heading west over to get to Galilee. The other, well, going straight north through Samaria. Due to a long history that revolved around the tumultuous times of Israel's story found throughout the Old Testament, which led to destruction and exile, the Jews and Samaritans, as our text states, didn't associate with each other. As a result, most of the time, Jewish travelers would take the Jordan Valley route to avoid the strangers or perhaps perceived danger strangers of Samaria. However, John wrote this about their travel north to Galilee. Jesus had to go through Samaria. Of course, theologians debate about this statement. Why did Jesus have to go through Samaria? We can't definitely answer that question. Some say it was important for theological implications, while others suggest it was just geographical. It made sense. Go straight up. And when I read through the whole of this story, which continues all the way through verse 42 and concludes with many Samaritans believing Jesus is the Messiah, I trust that Jesus planned to see the woman at Jacob's well to spark a movement through her community, through her witness. You see, Jesus, for his mission, had to go through Samaria. If he didn't go, the woman would not have met the stranger named Jesus, who changed her life and her community. As representatives of Christ, we too are on a mission. Actually, it's his mission to make disciples. To address our fear of strangers, we need to be intentional about meeting strangers. With the Holy Spirit as our inspiration, we can replace our fear with purpose. When we see strangers, let's do our best to see an opportunity for a spark to be ignited in our community instead of danger or discomfort. Well, you know what? We can practice replacing our fear with purpose right here. As you intentionally meet the familiar stranger that's next to you, behind you, in front of you, across the aisle, whatever it may be, Then, be intentional to meet a stranger in our community as the opportunity comes. Because every day comes with new opportunity. Jesus then went to Samaria, and he stopped at Jacob's well. It's a prominent place in Israel's history, which still functions as a well today. At least it did 10 years ago when I drank from this well after the attendant lowered a bucket to retrieve me a drink. This story of the woman at the well was in the forefront of my mind as I took this cup from a stranger and drank. Being there gave me assurance that Jesus did meet the woman, and Jesus, the stranger, became Jesus, her Savior and Lord. The Gospels are not just stories. They are testimonies of the revelation of Jesus Christ, who intentionally meets us where we are to transform our life. Jesus is still a stranger to so many people who are waiting for someone, even a stranger, to invite them to a conversation that eventually will lead them to Jesus, their Savior and Lord. Now, Jesus was tired and thirsty, and he was waiting at the well at midday when a Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me some water to drink." The Samaritan woman asked, "Why do you, a Jewish man, ask for something to drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" As I mentioned previously, the Jews and the Samaritans were separated by years of differences, which were largely religious but also social. Many Samaritans had a Jewish heritage, but they married exiles from other countries and blended their faiths. The Jews considered them to be a mixed race and religious blasphemers. The Samaritans held on to their Jewish roots, especially holding on to the promise of the Messiah. However, they despised the Jews for their elitist attitudes. These realities became barriers to their relationship, which grew over time, keeping them far apart. Notice the difference between Jesus' approach to the conversation and the woman's response. What stands out to you? Jesus knew where he was and where the woman was from, yet he didn't bring up him being a Jew or her being a Samaritan. However, it was the first thing on the woman's mind as she approached the stranger waiting for her at the well. These labels were huge barriers, which kept her from seeing Jesus as anything else, and were reason enough to keep him in the category of stranger. She would have been content to have Jesus leave at that point. Let's pause for a moment. What about us? What labels are barriers for us? These labels take on a life of their own in our minds. We create full stories about whole groups, neighborhoods, cities, nations, countries, which don't match the story of the stranger that we meet. So I invite you to take time to do an internet search of this TED Talk by Chimamanda Adichie titled "The Danger of a Single Story." See, she's a woman from Nigeria who came to the United States for college, and her experience will shed light on the barriers labels become to our engagement with people who resemble a label that we assign to someone. To address our fear of strangers, we must remove labels that separate us. I think we know how destructive these labels can become, but since they are so much a part of human culture, we have become numb to their impact. So let this be an awakening for us to move beyond the label, to see the person behind them, and even better, take this step to meet them. So Jesus saw the woman without her labels, even though he knew all the labels that could be attached to her. Knowing her labels, he intentionally met her at the well, not specifically for a drink, but to connect with her. He did, however, begin his interaction with a genuine request. He was thirsty, and a drink would be satisfying to him. As simple as this may seem, I think this is a critical point for us when it comes to meeting strangers as we carry out our mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus didn't start with, "I am the Messiah, give me a drink." And we don't need to start with, "Hi, I am from Faith Community, would you like this bottle of water?" We need to consider the labels that we carry that act as barriers to others. Our intent is to meet people where they are, to know them first and foremost. To address our fear of strangers, we engage in relevant conversations. Remember, we are strangers too. Our role is to encourage the strangers we meet to fear a little less by making them feel welcomed and seen as we give them the space to be heard and accepted for who they are through genuine conversation. And as we learned last week, our curiosity and openness to other perspectives can guide our conversations with the desire to get to know those that we meet. So Jesus listened to the Samaritan woman's response to his request that included the labels associated to them both. Then, without hesitation, he continued the conversation, responding, "If you recognize God's gift and who is saying to you, 'Give me some water to drink,' you would be asking him and he would give you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, you don't have a bucket and the well is deep. Where would you get this living water?" Now, his response may have been difficult to understand, but he used the context of their conversation to move beyond a transactional request of a cup of water to a discussion that was more relational. As their conversation continued, you could sense the walls that separated them coming down. Jesus truly desired for the woman to know him just as much as he knew her. To address our fear of strangers, we are to be prepared to relate with strangers. We can't build relationships with anyone without sharing ourselves, our stories with people that we meet. But we live in a transactional world right now, which is becoming more and more lonely. Jesus, throughout the Gospels, took the time to relate with everyone he met. I know we aren't Jesus, but we are his disciples, aren't we? All we need to do is engage in conversations with people we don't know well or not at all, and be willing to share a little of our story while asking questions to get to know others. Soon enough, we will be able to move from stranger to familiar stranger to no stranger at all. And when the Spirit leads, we can share our faith story and share how the living water within us gives us life in Christ. So friends, I'll say it again. We are all strangers until we are not. And Jesus is a stranger until he isn't. Jesus knows everyone and desires each of us to know him well. And he also wants us to help strangers we meet to know him well. To be in mission with Jesus to make disciples, we must address our fear of strangers to fear a little less and engage with God and our community. So let's face our fear of strangers and be intentional to meet them. Remove any labels that separate us. Engage in some relevant conversations and be prepared to relate with the strangers we meet. May we become, each of us, the person that others describe as the one who never met a stranger, because we see everyone as a friend that we just haven't spoken to yet. Amen.
As you are able, please stand and sing hymn number 454, Open My Eyes That I May See. We all are strangers. Keep that in mind. But no one needs to be left out. We can have courage that is given to us by the Holy Spirit to go and meet someone. You can begin practicing today, right where you are, before you turn around and walk out, so that we can be more free to meet those within our community. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.